We learned last time together the Bach's commentary on Birkas HaTorah. The purpose of learning Torah is not so much the information, almost not at all, the information that one gets from Torah, but rather it's the relationship that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu build through the learning of Torah, and that's the value of the bracha on Talmud Torah that comes beforehand. V'hinei matzino b'tosfos b'sota, Tafkaf Beisamud Aleph, Ki Talmud Chacham Maharher B'Torah B'chol Sha'a. A Talmud Chacham is someone who is constantly thinking of Torah. Ve'im Limud Haya Rak Inyan Shel Esek B'chochma Ba'alma, Lo Yitachen Liot Davuk B'Torah B'mida Kazos. Ach Kol Inyan Limud Hu Be'emet Lihitatzem Ulitached B'Torah. Ad Shel Talmud Chacham Nihye Be'emet Sefer Torah Chayim. Ve'lechein Machshavato Eino Nifredet Kral Mihagot B'Torah. So there's the learning of Torah, and there's the living of Torah. And if it was just about, when the Gemara says that you're thinking of Torah every moment, what does that mean? Does that mean you're literally thinking through a sugya? Does that mean you're doing the shakla vataria of a sugya every moment? Or rather, like we defined last time we learned together, the definition of Das Torah is something which, even when you're making a decision about a different topic, which is not a Torah topic per se, but your mind has become so refined through Torah thoughts, that really, that's also called learning Torah. Like the Gemara says that even the light conversations of Talmud Chachamim are Torah which one can learn from as well. Because even though they're talking about secular matters, but the way they perceive something, the way they view a situation, that is also a way of you ascertaining Torah. There's a story of the Chazon Ish, which I like very much, that there was a person who needed to have an operation, and the doctor said that he thinks they shouldn't do this and this operation, and then they said, "I'm going to ask the Chazon Ish," and the doctor was very infuriated by that. He said, "Why are you asking a rabbi? Like, if it would be a halachic question of Hilchos Shabbos, I understand why you're going to ask a rabbi. But whether you should do an operation or whether you should not do an operation, why are you going to ask a rabbi?" So the person didn't know the answer, but they just said that in our circles, we take Das Torah on any big decision. So the doctor said, "Well, I want to go and ask the rabbi." So the doctor came along and came to the Chazon Ish and came to ask him, "Rabbi, why are people coming and asking you whether they should do operations or not? It's not your place. I don't answer halachic questions, and I don't feel it's your place to answer medical questions either." So the Chazon Ish said, "Tell me, doctor, when you decide whether to operate, then what factors go into account?" So the doctor said, "Well, my expertise and my knowledge of the case." So the doctor said, "Yeah, but what happens when..." So the Chazon Ish said, "What happens when you have someone who's, let's say, elderly, and there are other systems in their body which will be affected by it? Or what happens when it's someone who's got other medical issues which may be affected, not just because of their age?" The doctor said, "Well, yeah, you need shikul adas. You need to have to contemplate the matters in the context of many other matters as well." So the Chazon Ish said, "So in medical, definitely, you have more knowledge than I do. But when it comes to shikul adas, when it comes to calculating all different factors and how to take them all into account, there, through Torah, I feel I have no less of a strength than you have." And a very amazing concerning case that happened, that I heard from the rabbi who was asked about it. There was a woman who went to a doctor about a certain medical issue regarding a pregnancy that she was in. And the doctor said she should abort. And she said, "I'm not going to do that before getting halachic guidance." And she went to a rabbi who I'd learned by in the topic of medical halacha, Rabbi Burstein, the rabbi in Yerushalayim, specializes in medical halacha, and he does courses for people who wish to specialize in it as well. So I learned by him. And he said, "I want to speak to the doctor." So he went to the doctor and he said to him, "Doctor, based on what I know, you don't have to abort in this case because the chances of the danger happening are quite minute." And the doctor says, "Yeah, but there's a risk. So we don't take a risk." So the Rabbi Bornstein said to the doctor, "If this would be her second child, she has one child and it's her second child, would it be worth taking the risk?" He said, "Yeah, the risk is so small that if she only had one child at home, then I would say it's worth taking the risk because she can have two children. But she already has four children. She already has five children. She has six. I don't know how many she had. Let's say she had five. She already has five children at home." So Rabbi Bornstein said, "Doctor, you must understand. This is a religious woman. For her, the fifth child is for you the second child. Like what you considered significant, that it's worth taking the risk for another child, for her, this is as significant. Every life is significant. So the doctor said, oh, for her, if it's like a second child, then yeah, we can go ahead with it. He said, thank you very much. So sometimes it's not only a medical question which is taken into account, but rather there's a whole hashkafa, a whole hashkafa, a whole worldview that's taken into account, even when making it. So when the Gemara says, when Tosis, sorry, says in Sota, that a Talmud Chacham is someone who's mahaher b'Torah b'chol shah, it always doesn't mean he's thinking Torah literally every moment, because a person's mind does go to topics of parnosa and family and many other topics. But when a person's mind is so developed in Torah, he's learnt and he's thought and he's calculated and he's got shikul hadas and das Torah to the degree that he has, then even when he's thinking of non-Torah topics per se, he's thinking, what would the Kodesh Baruch Hu want me to do in this situation? What's the will of Hashem in any given situation? And even if it's not a halachic question, but the will of God applies even not to halachic questions. And that's maharher b'Torah b'chol shah. A person's thinking in Torah topics the whole time. So that's the end of that chapter. Hare limud Torah megasher bin olam haruchani bin olam hagashmi. The Torah is something which is not only esoteric and disconnected in the base medrash but not part of the real world. But Torah is something which gives us the skill to think what Hashem would want us to think in practical, down-to-earth, real situations. And that's how we're bringing Hashem into the world. What does that esoteric mean? We're bringing Hashem down into the world. It means that by us tuning our thoughts and aligning our way of thinking with Hashem's Torah, Hashem's way of thinking, then when we're involved in the world and making worldly decisions, we're making God's decisions in that situation. And according to the degree that we've refined our mind in Torah, we're more able to be sure of the fact this is what God would want me to do. Because I've attuned my mind to a mind of Torah. And that's the purpose of our learning Torah. We align our thoughts with Torah's thoughts. And then when we come to make earthly, worldly decisions in this world, we're using the shikul hadas that we have gained, the way of thinking that we have gained, through our learning of Torah, and bring Hashem into our decisions that we make. Now we're on to the next chapter. Perek Shlishi. He starts off by quoting the Gemara in Megillah. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Im yomar lecha adam yagati velo matzati al ta'amen. If a person says to you, I've put in great effort to learning Torah, but I'm unsuccessful, I haven't found anything, then you shouldn't believe him. He probably didn't put in great effort, or he's just humble and he did find things. Lo yagati matzati al ta'amen. If a person says, I don't put in any effort and I'm very successful, you shouldn't believe him either. I'll just put in brackets. There are some people who have, let's say, a good memory. And because they have a good memory, they're able not to put in effort and still be successful in tests that they take. Because they hear a rabbi saying it over once and they're able to get all they just really quickly through very once without much effort. So that's lo yagati o matzati. Right? That's not putting effort and still finding. But you see, that's not called finding. I mean, the fact they passed the test, that's not a real test. That's not a real judge. The fact that maybe they got through school like that, and maybe they'll even get a degree like that, that's not a test. They come to yeshiva and they suddenly find they're struggling. Suddenly they find that they're not putting in that same depth of thought that the sugya requires to learn iyun. And although, yes, things weren't easy for them in this test and that test, and maybe they'll pass many tests in their life, but that's not a real judge of them connecting themselves deeply to Torah. Because if you're not putting in effort in depth of thought, then that's not called finding Hashem. You won't find Hashem in that way. I must tell you a story. There was a precious man by the name of Yaron, who lives in Yad Binyamin. And he, after high school, he did Atuda, which is where you combine a degree with the army. You don't go to regular army service, rather you go to university, learn a degree, and then you use what you've learned in the degree in to serve the army. And he's very intelligent. So he went into computing, and he worked in computing in the army for many years. And he obviously did very, very well in that. Because after that, he went into a private company, like a non-army company, and after a few years, he was able to retire. And when he retired, he said, well, I never went to yeshiva properly, and now I want to dedicate my life to yeshiva. And he came here to Keren B'Yavneh. He came to the kollel, and he didn't take money, he didn't give money. Maybe he probably did give money, but he didn't. Like, he wasn't a paid avreich, he was doing his own thing. But he just asked permission to sit in the base medrash and learn and in the kollel. And he sat in the kollel and he was learning. And he said to me, after a period of time, he said to me, Torah hi kanai. So I said, Torah is a kanai. It's, I don't know how you say it in English. Right? I said, what do you mean? He said, I've gone through school, university, computer programming, earning a fortune, and I never put in effort. It just was, I just did this, I just did that, I just did that, and everything fell into place. It was very easy. And I figured that I'll come to yeshiva and it'll be the same. Like everything else in my life has just been, like, I just do it and it just goes well. It just goes smooth. And I've sat here and I've sat back and I've started reading and I just read and read. And I realized that my way of learning doesn't work for Torah. Because I'm putting an effort and I'm kind of understanding mostly, and I can maybe write a test, but like I don't feel like I'm getting it, like deeply getting it. And then he said that I realized that the way of learning in yeshiva is a totally different way of learning that he's ever been used to. And he applied himself deeply into his learning. He did all of Rabbanut, then he did another level of Rabbanut Ir, and he recently put out a sefer on Hilchos Mitzvot Toleis Ba'aretz. And that blew me away. Because for a person who's very successful in one way, to then recognize the gadlus of Torah is amelus. And then he was able to say, if that's what it requires, I'll change my whole way of thought. And he was able to do it. That deeply impressed me. Because people are often designed a certain way, and if it works, good. If it doesn't work, it doesn't fit me, it doesn't suit me. But for a person to have the humility and the stamina to be able to say, my way doesn't work in this area, but this is what God wants from me, and therefore I will reassess who I am and what I'm willing to put an effort for, it deeply impressed me. He was here until Corona started. And when Corona started, he stopped coming. But until then, he still was in yeshiva. So, lo yagati matzati, don't believe them. If someone says, I can be successful without putting an effort, don't believe them. Because they may be successful on a superficial level. They're passing tests, but they're not successful in the depth of connecting to Hashem through Torah. Yagati matzati tamen. A person says to you, I put an effort and Baruch Hashem, I'm able to find and I'm successful, then you can believe them. V'hani mili, v'divrei Torah. Now here it gets a little more complex. When does this apply? In words of learning Torah. But this only applies with sharpness of Torah, understanding in depth new ideas. Aval le'uk me'girsa, but if a person wishes to retain the knowledge that they already have, Siyata min shemaihi. That you need God's help for. Meaning until now we weren't talking about God's help. We're talking about putting in effort. Now we're talking about to retain the learning that you have, that you need a special portion of help from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Arishor is now going to break this Gemara down and explain it with more depth. That was the quote from the Gemara Megillah Daf Vav. Harei b'chidud ein lecha adam she'einu matzliach b'yegiyato b'torah. When it comes to depth of understanding, the Gemara guarantees that anyone who puts in effort will be able to understand. Now, I don't know what understanding means. Does that mean that their understanding will be the same as someone else's understanding? Not necessarily. It could be that some people are blessed with a higher level of intelligence just naturally, and when A puts in amelus, he'll get to a certain level, and when B puts in amelus, he won't get to that same level. But the Gemara wasn't saying about getting to a particular level. It was talking about matzati. According to the capability that a Kodesh Baruch Hu has potentially given you, you can achieve it by putting in effort. But you need to put in effort. A person is never allowed to say, I'm not built for it, so I'm not going to try. That's not a valid excuse. That's a possible excuse. A person may say, even if I put in maximum effort, I'm never going to get to his level, so why should I try? Now that's already a good logic, meaning if you see it from a secular perspective that it's about accomplishments, then it makes sense. He's going to achieve more, I'm going to achieve less, so why should I bother? I once heard a recording of a shiur that Rabbi Tatz gave. And this was, Rabbi Tatz had obviously just given a Gemara shiur to people who had never learned Gemara before. And then he was giving a explanation about what Gemara is. After he learned a sugya with them, he was telling them what Gemara is about. And there was one individual there who was answering him back on the recording. And said to him, Rabbi, I hope you don't be offended if I don't come back. Please don't get offended if I don't come back. But when you said, there's a difference between when it says Amar Abaye and Abaye Amar, that Amar Abaye is a statement and Abaye Amar is arguing on the previous opinion, it's a little too complicated for me. And you know, there's lots of good rabbis out there like yourself who are doing a very good job. Like, I rely on you that any halacha that needs to come out, you'll probably figure it out a long time before I will. So don't be offended if I don't come back. And then Rabbi Tad said to him, no, it's an amazing answer. I was blown away. And I was so grateful that he'd asked that question, that he'd said his statement, because then it gave that insight to what Rabbi Tad was answering. Rabbi Tad said, you know, I personally won't be offended, but you're going to miss out. Because when God gave the Torah, He gave the Torah to every single individual. And he gave every individual their unique portion in the Torah that they need to bring out. It's not about the end result. It's not about being a posek. It's about every individual has the ability to bring out their unique portion in Torah. Then Rabbi Tatz continued and he said, now you know, we're the Jewish nation. We take responsibility for one another. And from a Jewish perspective, only when every individual is learning their portion in Torah do we have a complete Torah. So even if you say I or some other rabbi are learning their portion and they're successful in fulfilling their quota in their portion of learning Torah, that's what God gave me or God gave that other rabbi. But God also gave you Torah. And only you can bring your Torah down into the world. So it's nothing personal. I won't be offended. But the nation of Israel is looking to you to fulfill your portion of Torah that only you can fulfill and no one else in the world can fulfill. And if you have your wisdom and your background and your makeup and your understanding and who you are, and you go and learn Torah, that will bring down into the world a Torah that no one else in the world can bring down. Oh, that blew me away, that answer. It blew me away. It's not about accomplishment. It's not about who's going to be the one to get the doctorate in Talmudic studies. Oh, there's only a certain amount of positions, so I'll leave it to him. It's nothing to do with that. Everyone has the unique kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And your unique relationship with Hashem can only be developed if you've learned your portion in Torah. And therefore, Chidud ein lecha adam she'in matzliach. When a person gets into the understanding of their learning, everyone's successful. Now don't jump on me and say, I'm successful, look at him. I don't care at him. You have your unique chelek, which you came down into the world to bring out. And you can be successful in your chelek if you put in effort. What will you accomplish? I don't know. You'll accomplish what Hashem gave you the ability to accomplish. That's what you came for. You didn't come for more than that. But what you can accomplish, you have to accomplish. That was the portion Hashem gave, and you have to put an effort for it. Lo'ukme girsa, mashma mekan, ki ein ze talui bisata dishmaya. However, when it comes to remembering what you've learned, that you need God's help. So, at this point, it seems quite simple that to learn, you have to put an effort, and to remember, it's sata dishmaya. But now it's going to get more complicated because the Gemara says a diok in the Gemara here. This is the diok of the Vilna Gaon. He says, "Achrei ha'yegiya b'Torah, ein ha'aliyah devar haba me'mele." In the world, the way things normally work is you put in effort, and according to the effort that you put in, you earn. You earn. I put in effort, and I earned according to the effort I put in. You wouldn't say, "I put in effort, and I found." Finding is something you do without effort. If you walk along the street and you found a tent, Thursday, I sat with someone on the wall. Remember who it was? I sat there with someone on the wall and there was a 10 shekel coin, just there on the wall. I put in no effort to find that 10 shekel coin. It was just there, I found it. So, things that you put an effort for, you earn. Things that you don't put an effort for, you could find. Here the Gemara says a statement which is an oxymoron. It says, Yagata umatsata tamin. If you put an effort and you find, then that's a possibility. You can believe that. Well, that doesn't make sense. You put an effort, you should earn. Or you don't put an effort and you find. But what does it mean that you put an effort and you find? That's the question of the Gra. Says the Gra, an amazing thing. He says, Rak begeder metziah. Even when you've put an effort, what a Kodesh Baruch Hu grants you is not according to your effort. Meaning, you have to, from your side, show that you're putting an effort. You have to earn it. But then what you earn isn't equal to the effort you put in. It's much, much, much greater. When a Kodesh Baruch Hu then grants you Torah, he's not just granting you an understanding of this information. He's granting you a relationship with him. That's a metziah. That's not natural. If I would put an effort towards a test that I have in maths and I get a good grade on the math test, that's I put an effort and I earn that good grade. However, if I put an effort and the teacher says, I saw you put an effort, come, I want to have a private chavrusi with you in mass from now on. Then that's something unexpected. That's way more than, you know, I earned. Right? That's something special, unique. Here, we put an effort in Torah learning, and we don't get in accordance to what we put in. Right? That we know the halacha. Rather, we get a relationship with Hashem. That's a metziah. That's way beyond. Achrei ha'yegiya motzim. After you put an effort, you discover, you find. She'ena tzlacha. What you see from here is your success in Torah learning is not just about the effort you put in. but rather it's something supernatural. Right? Kodesh Baruch Hu comes down towards you and he helps you exponentially more than the effort you put in, so long as you put an effort. In a sense, that's also Tziyach Dishmai. And now we have a question which we're going to leave, because I want to tell another story, and then I will leave this question for tomorrow, Bez Hashem. But now we have a question. According to the Graz Diuk, saying what happens is, to learn Torah, really it's a Metziah, so that's really Hashem's helping you out. That's not natural, it's really Hashem's help. And also to remember is Hashem's help. So it seems like they're all Hashem's help. So it's obviously not all the same. There's different levels of Hashem's help. There's a Metziah, which is one level of Hashem's help, which is helping you for one area to learn. And then there's Tziyach Dishmaya, which is another level of Hashem's help, which is helping you for a different thing to recall. I just want to tell one amazing story, which is not on the topic of Torah, it's the topic of Parnassah, but it's the same underlying principle. Both in Torah and in Parnassah, you have to show Hashem that you're willing to put in effort, and then Hashem will help you, not necessarily in accordance to the effort you put in. But rather, if you've shown Hashem that you're willing to take care of yourself, He will take care of you. I want to tell a personal story that happened. When the first year or two we got married, my wife had just, first year she finished her degree, and then the second year she was looking for a job. And she didn't find a job initially. So I said, you know, you have to put an effort to find a job. This is all, where do I go around doing that? So she said, I don't know what to do. So then we came up with a suggestion. My wife has a particular profession, which is something in the kibbutz, which her profession, she may be able to work there in a particular area of the kibbutz, in an old age home. So she said, you know, I'm going to go to the kibbutz, and I'm going to go and tell them what I'm qualified in, and ask them if they have a job for me. That's putting an effort. Fine. She walked to the kibbutz, she told them what her qualification was in. They said, oh, it's very good, it's very interesting to us, but we dafka have someone fulfilling that role, so we'll keep you in mind, but we don't need it right now. And she's walking back and gets a phone call. And who's the phone call from? I don't know if you know Itai Shoham in Keren B'Avner. His uncle. Okay. What does the uncle of Itai Shoham want? That there's a particular woman who wants to convert, and she's from England, and they're based in England, are looking for an English-speaking teacher who lives near Ashdod, who can teach the syllabus of conversion. Would she be interested in doing that? Because when they heard of Ashdod, they thought, well, is there an English-speaking place near Ashdod? Keren B'Yavneh, because there's obviously lots of girls who speak Keren B'Yavneh in Keren B'Yavneh. And then they found the one Avrech at the time, there weren't other Avrechim at that time, the one Avrech who has an English-speaking wife, and she said, yes! So she walked back and I said, did you find the job? And she said, yes! I said, oh, in the old age home? She said, no! Itai Shoham's uncle via Diane Lichtenstein in England, who phoned his uncle who works on the board of conversion, who Ashdod, Keren B'Yavneh, Tzvi Davidson, Ora Davidson, job. What? That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make sense, but that's the way Hashem works. Hashem needs you to show that you're willing to put an effort. Once you show you're doing your side, you're putting your ishtadlus, He will bring you what's best for you, not necessarily in the area that you put ishtadlus in. Because there's no connection really between that. There's no connection between the area that you think you need to be working in and what Hashem thinks is necessarily best for you. But He does need you to show your ishtadlus. Once you've showed you're putting an effort, He'll come towards you. So that's an example from Parnassah. You put an effort in one area. You show Hashem you're serious. Hashem will also take you seriously and guide you the way that He feels is best. It's also true in Torah. Once you're putting in your efforts in Torah learning, you're putting your maximum in, it could be that you'll be granted an understanding beyond. And I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but sometimes you have an insight in your learning where you don't know where that came from. Meaning, you're stuck on a question and you don't understand it, and you're just kind of going over the same information again and again, and suddenly, boom, there's this Einfeld, as it's in Yiddish. Like out of nowhere comes this idea that, like, where did that, and you clearly see that was the Yisrael Shrine. Like, there's no way I would understand that without the help of Hashem, but you put an effort. And you came to the end of your ability, but you put in maximum effort, so Hashem grants you a Tziyach Dishmaya at that moment. So that's the idea. How we're going to resolve the Gemara, we're based on the Gra, that we'll see with Hashem tomorrow.